Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Welcome and thank you for joining in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that is solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm your host, Paul Marks, and we have a great show today with a wonderful guest who is an expert on the topic of today's show. So we're halfway through 2018. What does the year mean to the multifamily market in Houston, Texas? Is this a year of transition? And what about the continuing effect of on the market of Hurricane Harvey? With this in mind, our topic today is 2018, a multifamily status report. Joining me today is multifamily industry expert Bruce McClenney, president of ApartmentData.com. Welcome, Bruce.
Glad to be here.
So when we were talking in the green room before the show, you had mentioned that to understand 2018, you really have to understand the market prior to that and what happened with one of the Houston area's primary industries, the oil industry, with the fracking and the fracking boom and then the fracking bust.
Right.
So tell us a little bit about how that pertains to multifamily and why it's so important to understand it.
Well, you go back to the Great Recession in 2009, and the oil industry was looking for technology to bring it back, and they happened upon, you know, being able to bring more oil out of shale with this new technology. And all of a sudden, you know, Houston is creating jobs, you know, well over 100,000 jobs years in a row. And you know, from 2011 to 2015, I think it is, we led the nation in population growth. And so we were really booming again. And it was once again from the impetus of the oil industry. And so with that kind of dynamic, apartment developers and single family developers, and you know, that's their cue, and rightly so, that they need to develop to take up for all these people that are coming into town. And then all of a sudden in 2014, the price of oil drops and it precipitously drops, and the oil industry just does a U-turn and goes into retreat, and so does our economy. Mm-hmm. And so these developers, it takes, you know, a couple years, 3 years for them to get things going. And by that time they had, you know, had put into the pipeline where we developed, you know, 17,000 units in 15 and 20,000 back to back in 16 and 17. And so, you know, the rug economically got pulled out from under us, and we got caught with these pipeline. And so the economy went down. We had all, you know, and so all of a sudden we had all these apartments, and so apartment rents went down. Mm-hmm. You know, it was tough on landlords. It was a renter's market, and then we come into, and 16 was the absolute worst economically. You know, the price of oil reached like $26 in February. The rig count reached 404 in May. That was the lowest ever that the Hughes rig count had been that low, and it's been going on since 1948. So, you know, those are some examples of the depths of where we were. And so then after that, you know, we get into 17 and we start to come back. We got the Super Bowl, you know, there's a lot of good things going on, and we start to have some job growth, and then all of a sudden we have Harvey as well. Harvey, we always have winners and losers. It definitely impacts housing.
Right.
You know, those apartments that didn't get any damage, that had because of the downturn, they had. You know, at the time of the storm, we probably had 75,000 units available across all classes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, we were totally ready to take on any kind of
Absorb whatever
people wanted to move in. So, you know, so I estimate there was about 19,000 people that moved into apartments, from September to November. Mm-hmm. There were some that immediately moved in, but there were some that were family and friends, and they just kind of sorting out their problems. And then by November, they said, well, you know, we probably need to move into an apartment. So, you know, those months, the last few months of 2017, we had more absorption than we normally see, and which is normally a downtime, and we don't see that much absorption in the fourth quarter of any year. So, you know, that was an impetus. And so all of a sudden, you know, we've got damaged units, we've got Harvey evacuees, we've got lease ups, and just all these things coming together and going into 2018.
Okay. I wanted to ask you, because you mentioned the Great Recession of 2009, and Houston started coming out of it in 2011 with the fracking technology and so forth. In that time, from 2009 to when the comeback started, compare that to 2014 when the prices dropped. Just the reason I'm asking you this is I know our listeners sometimes are new to the industry. They may not have been through those cycles, or they have short memories and they don't remember what it looked like and what it felt like in the industry. Tell us a little bit about how that was, how that all happened, as far as what they saw and how it affected the industry then.
Sure. Before the subprime problem that caused the Great Recession, we were in a boom time again, and the developers were once again developing, and in 2008 we had delivered almost 22,000 units, which is which is kind of a strong year for us. I mean, our sweet spot of deliveries is probably more around 14 or 15 per year. You know, that's what we can tend to handle. And so we were a little bit, once again, over our skis, and then they got caught once again. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the industry responds with you know, rent reductions, concessions, mm-hmm. those kind of things. So, you know, and so when you look at, 2009, we had a negative 2.3% mm-hmm. reduction in rents. And so, you know, we start to come back, and then the job growth starts to come. You know, we lost 110,000 jobs in that year.
Right.
So, all of a sudden we start to come back and we start to build back slowly. And then we just take off again, you know, from 11 on.
Right.
And then 14, once again, we have, that shock of the oil price.
Right.
And then we once again go through that cycle. And, we tend to, you know, Houston is very different than any other market there is because of the oil industry and how it goes up and down. And then also because of storms, mm-hmm. you know, storms really impact, the housing market here. And, rents go up. I mean, it's just it's law of supply and demand. When we have people coming, you know, to help people build out of the, you know, to help them with their damaged properties. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got so many. We've got insurance adjusters. We've got all sorts of people coming to town to help us build out of that.
Right.
And then at the same time, we have. Absorption that's not job-based related. You know, normally job-based and population relates to how many units are absorbed or how occupancy moves up or down. But then, you know, you got all of a sudden you got 19,000 people moving in, which is just not normal.
Right.
You know, our normal year of absorption is probably between 13 and 16.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden we got 19 in a matter of 3 months.
Right.
So, you know, the rents popped, you know, I mean, the rents popped. And for those properties it's not like raising rents. They mm-hmm. just removed a concession.
Right.
We're tracking effective rents. Mm-hmm. So if somebody had, and there were a lot of 2 months freeze, you know, especially mm-hmm. in the Energy Corridor and Katy and, you know, where there were a lot of billing going on. And then all of a sudden, if you just remove your months free, that's you've just realized an 8.33%.
Right.
And 2 months free is a multiple of two of that.
Right.
So, you know, that's probably what we were tracking effective rents, that people were removing concessions.
Right.
So we've seen, you know, the rents pop in certain places. And then there are other places in town that didn't get the benefit of Harvey. You know, Harvey was much, you know, sort of a specifically on the west side of town, up and down Buffalo Bayous. And Katy had some issues. And, of course, the standard places that flood, Greens Point, Brayswood, those kind of places that had the flooding. And, but, you know, downtown, Medical Center didn't necessarily see the benefits of Harvey, and they still had a lot of units coming online and being, you know, increasing supply. So, you know, we still see concessions downtown. We still see the 2 months free, 3 months free in downtown.
Okay. Well, we will be back in a couple of minutes after this message to continue our discussion on 2018 Multifamily Status Report. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen and Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220. Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Well, we're back, and you're listening to Multifamily Matters, and today we are discussing 2018, a multifamily status report. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me is multifamily industry expert Bruce McClenney, president of ApartmentData.com. And before the break, we were talking about the effects of the Great Recession and then what happened when Hurricane Harvey hit. Everything that I think the metrics that a lot of people look at, I know you look at, is job growth and what's the situation with job growth. What happened when we had the Great Recession with job growth, and compared to when we had this issue with the fracking and Harvey and all that?
Right. Going back to the Great Recession, we lost around 110,000 jobs in that 1 year, and you know that is a big amount of jobs. And this time around, with you know, with this economic downturn only for Houston, and it was very much Houston. Okay, the subprime problem and all was just like worldwide.
Right.
Right. So, I mean, it was like every single the world suffered and was in a downward spiral economically. But this time around, it was just more of Houston. You know, I mean, Dallas didn't get affected so much, or Austin or San Antonio a little bit, but, you know, we were truly countercyclical in this downturn, and And when you look at the job growth or lack of jobs that we had, the oil industry probably lost around 80,000 jobs, you know, after 2014. And they're still kind of muddling around right now. But, you know, that was overcome because we've diversified our economy so much where we're not so dependent on oil. And when you look at the overall job growth numbers or job losses in say, in 15 and 16, it was very minimal. You know, the metro area lost about 2,500 jobs in 2015 and about 2,200 jobs in 16. You know, so it's not a good scenario, but it's nowhere near the type of job losses that we experienced back in 2009. And so, you know, we're primed, you know, like the oil prices come back too. You know, it's like, you know, if it stays around 60, that's great for us and not so bad on the rest of the economy. You know, we need to find a sweet spot where the oil prices doesn't go too high and then really does, you know, damage to the national economy. Mm-hmm. And so that maybe that $60 level, 60 to 70 is where it needs to be. And for the oil industry to come back you know, so in 17, we 62,009 jobs, 62,900 jobs were produced. Now, once again, Harvey has got a hand in that.
Right.
You know, I mean, all the, and we're still struggling to understand, you know, how much of a hand that, you know, how many jobs were impacted. And I've heard, you know, up to the, you know, 20,000 jobs or so. So maybe, you know, like without Harvey, we might have only, you know, maybe been, you know, 25,000-30,000 jobs for 2017. Right. And same thing with apartment rents. You know, we ended up the year at 4.5% rent growth for 17. But I could easily argue that we would have had half of that if it hadn't been for Harvey.
Yeah.
And Harvey just, all, you know, has, you know, given us a shot in the arm economically. And, you know, for those that the economy has benefited, I mean, there's people that have definitely suffered, you know, tremendous amounts of damage. But, you know, in the big scheme of things, it economically gave us a boost to all of a sudden have more jobs and then to continue that into 18. And the numbers for 18 right now are, as of the end of April, the 12-month trailing jobs from the Bureau of Labor is 84,500 jobs.
Oh.
And I'm not certain that, I mean, it's, a, you know, they're doing a lot of estimating and they're doing a lot of extrapolation. And, you know, I just don't think it's going to be that high when it all, you know, washes out, mm-hmm. you know, next March when they do all their benchmarking. But still, that's a great number.
Yeah.
You know, and even if it's 60, it that's a wonderful number.
Mm-hmm.
And it just provides a lot of, you know, a great path for us to come back and to get well, you know, especially in the apartment industry for those owners that have suffered, you know, since 2014 with a lot of, you know, flat years and negative years and offering a lot of concessions. And maybe it's time to, you know, so that we can get some rent growth back.
Yeah. And you know, when you were talking about Harvey and how it affected certain parts of town, what did you see as far as the number of units that were lost versus where we are today after that? What's come back?
It's hard to determine what's come back. Because there were so many properties that just had maybe, you know, a building,
yeah.
you know, and first floor only
right.
For a couple, three buildings. So, you know, when you put all that together, there were some, you know, especially up and down Buffalo Bayou, there were a total of six properties that totally had to shut down
mm-hmm.
and you know, and just stop operating for several months. You know, those are easy to track. You know, those are coming,
yeah.
you know, when those come back or don't. But, you know, the other ones are slow to come back. And but we tracked, you know, immediately after Harvey hit, you know, it's like we're all sitting in our homes. And this particular storm was very different. You know, I've been here and seen several storms now, you know, since I've been in Houston, my 40 years here. And it was surreal in that, you know, it was not a wind event, so a lot of people didn't lose power.
Right.
Or if you lost power, it wasn't for a very short, it was only for a very short time. Mm-hmm. So we were sitting watching all these horrific scenes of people, wading through water.
Right.
And it was just like, you just felt like, my gosh, this is just, complete. This is devastating. And it's like, and then when we got back to work and we started talking to people and we're saying, well, there's still a lot of properties that didn't flood.
Right.
And so we started a process of we call properties on a monthly basis and talk to them and, ask them what their rents are, what their occupancies are, policies, those kind of things. And so we put our entire call center on Houston to finish it as quickly as possibly can, get through it. And in a half of, halfway through September, we had surveyed about 98% of all the units that we have here. Mm-hmm. And only found that there were around almost 16,000 units damaged, 215 properties that had that kind of damage. So, and the other thing that was going on is that there were other data providers across the country that were putting out 40,000, 60,000,
right.
170,000. And they were kind of doing it, based on maps and floodplains and assumptions.
Yeah.
And a lot of people heard those things and was thinking, oh my gosh, this is incredible. But, 16,000 is a lot for those that had that problem, but it's nowhere near, the damage, that I think a lot of people thought.
Right.
And so the up and down Buffalo Bayou, there were six properties that were totally shut down. And then there was, another one that had about 700 units that had a lot, a lot of units down,
right.
Maybe 400 or 500 down, but they kept operating, So, out of those six that are up and down Buffalo Bayous, four have come back, have started leasing again. It's like a total lease up again, and there's two that are still waiting to come back. There are two that still haven't come back and possibly won't. Like the Treetops, mm-hmm. And 2100 Memorial, really suffered extreme damage.
Right.
So, those two were taken out. But, so that relates to the damage that we saw during the storm.
Yeah.
And coming back, it's those units are slowly coming back. The good news is that, it's coming back into an environment that's where we've got job growth again.
Right.
And so
they're coming back into a favorable
right.
economic environment. And, I was mentioning to you earlier, I've got I was talking to an owner who's got a property down off of 45 South that flooded all the first floor units. And they're still, bringing them back online. They've probably only done about 25% of gotten them back online so far. Now, I think they got a construction division inside their company, and they're trying to do it that way. But I know a lot of contractors, kind of rallied to the call to help the different properties out, and it was a boom for them. So I guess they're some of the winners that come out of a situation.
I can make an educated guess. I mean, we still kind of look at these things with, each time we survey on a monthly basis, and there's probably still maybe 6,000 or so units that are still down.
Yeah,
from that. But to the bigger question out there is, when will all the evacuees move back, or will they move back?
Right.
There's this time around, there's been a lot more conversation about, maybe these people, had, especially up and down Memorial, mm-hmm. They may be empty nesters, mm-hmm. A little bit later on in life, like myself, and they had a total loss. So they're faced with like, wow, we like this rental living. It's like resort living, and
right.
and we might want to stay renters. And we're seeing more and more, or hearing more and more stories like that. So, it may be that this time around there's not as many people move back, which right. will also, give a better position for the apartment industry to move from. Because if they all move back, that would be, a problem to deal with. And and probably, you know, put us in a position of you know, a little bit more supply than we need.
Right. Okay. Well, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back after this break. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220. Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen & Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Well, we're back, and you're listening to Multifamily Matters. And today we are discussing 2018, a multifamily status report. I'm Paul Marks, and I'm talking with multifamily industry expert Bruce McClenny, president of ApartmentData.com. Before we jump back in the conversation, I want to let our listeners know that if you would like to provide show topics or guest ideas or suggestions of any kind, or listen to any archived episode, you can go to our website for Multifamily Matters, which is www.multifamilyradio.com. I also want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. WaterLogic, the smarter way to water, providing professional irrigation water management. And Ted W. Allen & Associates, specializing in multifamily habitational insurance since 1967. So, Bruce, one of the things that I hear pretty regularly from people that are either guests on our show or in the industry when I go to different events, is that they're really wanting to look at properties in Houston to purchase, but there's so many people bidding on them, you know, the market, it's very difficult for them. Is that just a Houston problem?
No, that's nationwide. I mean, there's a lot of money out there that's ready to be deployed to buy apartments. Mm-hmm. And or real estate in general. But because of Houston's downturn, the money turned away. Mm-hmm. You know, development automatically shrivels and just dies on the vine because there's nobody willing to develop into a downturn. And so there were, you know, a couple years for sure that we went through, and you could talk to brokers that there's transactions, you know, really dwindled from past years. And especially the A product.
Right.
You know, nobody was interested in investing in the A product because that's where all the oversupply was that we had. And, you know, so we were sitting on the sidelines and the money was being placed other places. But now the other markets, Dallas, you know, specifically Atlanta, Phoenix, wherever you may want to go, those properties continued through this development cycle. You know, this is one of the longest development cycles we've ever seen. You know, it started in, you know, 2012 in most places and is still continuing. And you know, Dallas is, for instance, is delivering, you know, 25,000, 26,000 units, which, historically, you know, they're more of a 16,000, 17,000 unit kind of year, you know, supply that they can handle. Austin, for example, is in, you know, developing about 11,000 units and has done so for the last 3 years. You know, they're more like an 8,000 kind of unit. So you've got all these cities that metros that are long in the development cycle. Their job growth is starting to not be as strong as it once was. And all of a sudden, you know, the money has been deployed there. And all of a sudden, you know, maybe these places that are investing in apartments don't, you know, it's like, well, we're invested there.
Right.
Where can we go next? Houston is a prime example. So, you know, if you want to buy, that's probably not a good thing, you know, because there's going to be a lot of people here bidding up the prices. But if you're an owner here, it's great news.
Right.
You know, really wonderful news that, and especially in the time that we're now in, where, you know, we're starting to see some interest rate growth from the Fed. They're raising the rates, and that brings up the argument, oh, well, we're going to see cap rates increase as well. The cap rates are going to go up, which reduces the value. However, because there's so much money out there that's that I do believe that they're going to bid up the price and we will see cap rate compression and the values will increase because of that. So, you know, if you're coming to Houston and want to buy, that's your, you know, you're going to be here with a lot of other people and they're going to be bidding it up. But for the people that have been here and there's going to be a great opportunity to get some value out of their properties.
Well, and I was talking with an owner several weeks ago about the fact that they were having problems competing. They're a small owner, but they're having problems competing on Houston area properties when they want to try and buy one or buy a portfolio or whatever it might be because there's so much interest. And so what they've started to do is look in some of the other markets just outside of Houston, like Victoria and so forth. Do you see a lot of that happening?
I'm hearing that. We don't track outside of Metro Houston, but yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, they're looking for yield, as they say, in all the conferences we go to, and those opportunities are there, but and not in big supply, and it's a different animal to go to, say, Victoria or to Beaumont or or some of these other places. Workforce, or you have issues with that, you know, that you, you know, the type of people that you would hire to run your property or you know, they're not used to having a workforce that understands property management and has worked on properties before. And so, you know, there's some issues there, but, you know, when you put the deal together, it does have some, you know, it is appealing.
Right.
And we are hearing that and definitely seeing that.
Okay. And as far as the different products that are out there, the A's, B's, the C's, what are you seeing as far as, I mean, I talked to a lot of owners that are talking about they're really looking for value add properties where they can go in and do it. And interesting enough, I know an owner who buys properties. They're based out of Florida. They buy properties here in Houston, and they buy them as value add properties, seek properties, put a little bit of money into it, and they basically flip the property within a period of less than a year.
Yeah. The value add went away with the economic downturn in Houston, but the value add in the middle stages of since the Great Recession, you know, like the 13, 14, 15, Houston was getting a lot of value add product and definitely benefiting from it, seeing great results from, you know, buying that property and putting, you know, $3,000 to $7,000 in it and increasing rents $150 and getting it. And so there's a lot of those stories that happened then, and that might be coming back now. But what's happening, you know, back then there were incredible deals. You know, it's like, say, Spring Branch was a place where I'd heard that, you know, you could get it for, they're depressed properties that you could get for $10,000, $15,000 a door.
Right.
You know, but it's probably double, triple that now.
Yeah, I think
you know?
So.
You know, that was a special time, you know, right after the Great Recession. And we've kind of, you know, in Houston, that we've gone through that cycle and And yes, there's going to be some opportunities out there, but you know, you're going to have to get your checkbook out to get into those opportunities. And you know, people ask me all the time. It's like, well, where do you think is a place where we should be able to do that? And you know, you're looking in those places where, you know, Houston had a tremendous amount of property units built in the 70s and 80s, and you know, that's the pool you're fishing in right there,
right.
That you'd want to find those opportunities. And then, you know, there's others that want to take like maybe something, a 90s vintage or something, and bump it up a little bit more, you know, instead of from, you know, maybe a B to an A instead of, you know, if you're taking that other product, which is typically a C, that 70-80 vintage, you know, you're trying to move it up to a B. So.
Well, when you were talking about the Great Recession, that was more of a global issue versus specific to Houston, but then the when the oil dropped, it really hit Houston hard, and you know, those deals were available at that time because of the depressed market. What do you think, since Houston's diversified so much, is it going to take another global type situation for those opportunities to come back again in this area?
I think we're just working on a different level of valuation now. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's just like, you know, since the Great Recession, you know, just the whole level price has just risen, and so then there's the situation where there's so much money out there wanting to be deployed.
Yeah,
and that's a challenge to get value. You know, when you've got somebody that really wants to buy a property, and there's so many people that just walk away. And
yeah.
So, you know, I think the opportunities are continuing to be limited, unfortunately,
right.
because how much was done after the Great Recession here, and then we're starting to come back, and now the money coming back is going to, you know, make it a challenge to find those deals that pencil out.
Yeah, we got about 30 seconds left before we need to take a break. But when you're talking about the money that is out there to be deployed, is that from institutional mostly, or
it's all levels? I mean, you know, there's all sorts of pools of money that have been collected, you know, funds that just specifically are put together, you know, from high net worth individuals and family trusts and all those kind of things that you know.
And a lot of it's outside of the market. It's they're looking around the country for areas to deploy the money.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, great. Well, we're going to take a break. We are talking about 2018, a multifamily status report. Again, I want to remind our listeners that you can go to our website at www.multifamilyradio.com. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
For cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen and Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. for a free analysis of your property. That's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Well, we're back again with our final segment of Multifamily Matters, and we are discussing 2018, a multifamily status report. I'm Paul Marks, and my guest is multifamily industry expert Bruce McClenney, president of ApartmentData.com. We're talking about Houston and how everything is affected by the Great Recession we had and the downturn in oil and then Harvey hitting and so forth. On a positive note, though, I mean, you work in a lot of different markets and you're familiar with a lot of different markets. What makes Houston unique? After all, we do have the largest apartment association in the country. How did we become leaders, and what's the story behind that as you know it?
Well, Houston has always been kind of a town that's fast and free and those kind of things, with no zoning, and it's kind of like the Wild West, so to speak. And back in the 60s, when there were a group of individuals here in Houston that developed apartments, that developed single-family homes, the Marvy Fingers, the Harry Reeds, the Dinnersteins, Ted and Bill, and the list goes on, Gennard Gross. And back then the town was much smaller, and these guys got together and talked about things, and they were developing apartments, and all of a sudden they said, well, we need an apartment association. So they effectively created the first apartment association. And from that, they then also created the Texas Apartment Association. And then as the National Apartment Association sprang forward later, they were, key people that helped guide all those associations along. And so it's just kind of a unique situation of a group of people that we had and the environment that we had and no zoning and those kind of things just all kind of came together in a city that was really growing too. It's just a fast growing city. So all those things kind of came together that makes Houston unique. And, not that Dallas is not a very, very close second. Mm-hmm. We have those those issues with Dallas.
Well, I think you had told me that as far as number of units in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, there are actually more units that you track than in the Houston area.
Right.
But Houston, I think people look to it as far as in the professionals in the industry, look to it as kind of being the leader in what's going on. And when Houston's doing something, the association here is doing something, they try and emulate it or copy it in other markets.
Sure. Yeah. They've got a very professionally run organization here and have so for many, many years. It's a joy to work with those guys. I know you know that as well.
Sure, sure. One of the things that kind of intrigues me when I find out about people and their businesses and how they operate their business, I can remember seems like it was 3 or 4 years ago, having a conversation with you where you were excited because you were expanding to another market with your business. And I know a lot's happened since then, but you've mentioned a couple of times that you're tracking things, you're surveying properties, you've got a call center that mobilized after Harvey. Tell me a little bit about how all that works so our listeners know the kind of effort that it takes to be able to provide the data that you do.
Yeah, I relate it to we're chasing our tails like mm-hmm. a dog, but we're never going to catch it. It's just all the information continually changes, and so what we've done is put together a call center and a process for our operators to quickly call properties and to get pricing on their units, and to get occupancy, and to get price policy changes and management changes, those kind of things. So there's a group of things that continually change, and we want to capture those, and hopefully we can capture them in a 3 to 4 minute time frame and get in and all out the call. The other thing that we really, really stress is that we try to accomplish something called 100% sampling. And I can relate a story. It's like, if you're watching the election, mm-hmm. right? You're watching elections, and all of a sudden, you know, they say 3% of the precincts have reported, and we're now making a prediction on who's going to win.
Right.
So they sampled 3%. So you can do that. You can sample a portion, and then from that extrapolate something else. But what we do is that, you know, the more you sample, the better quality of the data that you're going to have. So we try to get 100% sampling. That means we're going to call every property every month in our database. And, you know, we're running probably around 95%, mm-hmm. you know. So, I mean, not everybody's going to answer or whatever happens, you know. But it's a very high percentage of sampling that we do. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what separates us, the effort that we put in and we demand that we do those kind of samples, and that helps the quality of our information that we get.
Well, you know, I introduced you each segment as an industry expert, and truly you are. I mean, you every symposium I go to, you're always one of the speakers, and you're always talking about what's going on in the industry. And just like you did today, you're quoting a lot of facts and figures and things, but that comes from all that hard work that your team does to be able to right. give you that data, which is so vital not only to people in the ownership side of the business, but also on the vendor and supplier side.
Right.
And I know your platform has changed in the last few years. Tell us a little bit about what's happened with your company and how everything's changed.
Okay, so our company's been around for 33 years. And I've been working with the founder for almost 25. And luckily, about going on close to 4 years ago, a venture capital company, Solid Creek Capital out of California, found us and put some money in and brought some other management in for us and has given us, you know, just me new life. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, all of a sudden we're now expanding into other markets. You know, we were just a Texas-based company for many, many years, and now we're in Atlanta, we're in Phoenix, Tucson, we're in Nashville, we're in the Carolinas, and we're about to open up Florida. And so, you know, that to me is a very exciting prospect. And sure. and over and above that, you know, we have a platform. We have a software program that our users can get on and see the information we gather, and we've been trying to develop a program for a long time, and now we have, and it's out in the market now, and it is very slick. And we're bringing a lot of new features into the program, and the other thing that we do is that we want to work at the property level. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that differentiates us from all other data providers. We want to engage the property people with a marketing survey program and marketing tools and we talk to we've got people that go out and talk to the people at the property level, and that enhances the information that we have and the understanding that we have, and we are a bottom up, you know, from the property level up on. You know, the information we gather, and so that platform is, we've got a property platform, and then we've also got a corporate platform, analyst platform, that as well as a vendor platform that are all new and very slick, and we're very excited about that.
So when you talk about the property level, in your database, all the information you collect, a property manager, how could they use it? What would they be able to do with the data?
When we work with a property, we want, you know, they, for years and years and years, and this is a kind of an institutional thing in the industry, that you do market surveys. You have to understand your competition. So mm-hmm. they determine that, you know, maybe there's 8 to 10 properties that they really want to track, and they do it themselves. You know, they call around, talk to one another, like, what's your traffic, what's your prices, how mm-hmm. they gone up, you know, what's your move outs, you know, those kind of things. And they kind of put it together themselves, and there's always the thought that, well, I don't know if they're giving me the right information or not.
But right.
So we came along and said, hey, you know, we can call and get this information, and then we can package it to where you can benchmark, you know, we in no way say you should abandon your own market survey
right.
efforts. You need to do everything in all possible ways to understand your market. But we're going to give you something else to look at, and it's going to be even broader based. You know, you're going to be able to understand how application fees change, how deposits change, mm-hmm. how dog policy changes. You know, all these things. Qualification standards. So we just give them a much broader look at information that they would never be able to capture. Then the other thing that we can do is that we can expand, you know, in their direct comps into a little bit larger comps, because there's other properties around them that they just can't keep up with that they would like to. So, you know, we're bringing a lot more information and knowledge to them to understand their, you know, what's going on competitively in their markets. And then we also bring construction reports to them. We bring submarket reports to them. You know, so, you know, we're trying to educate them to, you know, to help the management companies that they work for, you know, partner with them to bring up the level, bootstrap these people to have a better understanding of the industry and possibly give them, you know, an understanding of how a supervisor might work.
Well, I want you to take 30 seconds. We're winding down the segment. I want you to take 30 seconds each and tell our listeners what apartmentdata.com, why it's important for a owner and why it's important for a vendor supplier.
Our company?
Yeah.
Well, we are keeping up with the trends, mm-hmm. You know, like rent trends, occupancy trends, and we're also keeping up with construction. So, you know, those are key components to understand when you want to deploy money, invest your money, and understand it. And if you have money deployed and you own a property, you know, gives them a reasonable expectation of how that market might work and how their property plays into, or, you know, if it's trailing or if it's leading or however it's operating within the markets it's in. So, you know, it's the intelligence that they need to understand how their assets are operating.
Okay.
You know, from an owner perspective. From a vendor perspective, you know, we're collecting information for them to understand. You know, there's tremendous changes going on in the industry.
Right.
You know, supervisor changes, management changes, property changes, names. You know, over the last few years, there's a branding concept.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, you know, they got to develop their brand, and I totally understand that. You know, it's like, so once a company gets it's a Camden property, and then they have a Camden name, they brand it with a Camden name, and then Greystar has a brand name as well, and all the REITs have brand names as well.
Right.
So, you know, all of a sudden, you know, somebody else gets it and that name changes, and it's like, well, I'm trying to look for this property and the name changed. And it's like, so we can help them with name changes, we can help them with management changes and keep up with the industry and keep up with the people that they want to have buy their products.
Well, I'm very familiar with your platform and certainly think it's a great service that you provide. Tell our listeners, if they want to get in touch with your company, if they want to find out more, if they want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do that?
We are apartmentdata.com, and you can reach me, Bruce, at apartmentdata.com.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably the most direct, quick way to do it. Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, thank you, Bruce, for coming today. It was great. I always learn so much when I hear you speak and talk, and I'm just proud to have you here today. We will be back next Friday and each and every Friday at 10 a.m. With another great topic and power panel of guests. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.